Hey, this is Jeff and Jeremy from the Ultra Running Guys. We just want to thank you for joining us on our podcast today. We started this podcast to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey. We also want to make sure that you are aware that there are a few ways you can connect with us.
So be sure to check us out on our Instagram and Facebook accounts, and you can head over to our website, theultrarunningguys.com, so you can see the live races that we're hosting. Lastly, don't miss out on an opportunity to connect with us on Patreon, where we'll be providing behind-the-scenes content, and this year we'll be spending a lot of time really building up that community. So thank you again. Be sure to like, subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends, and enjoy the episode.
I feel like ultras and just running in general, there's a lot of components to it. And what's really fun about racing in ultras is that not only is it the fitness, but you also have to dial in nutrition, your pre-race nutrition, like such as like your just diet in general, your sleep schedule, your recovery. I mean, there's a lot of factors that come down to like how you perform and how you feel when you're running.
Hey, welcome back to the Ultra Running Guys. You got Jeremy Reynolds and Jeff Winchester of the Ultra Running Guys. And the reason that we're here is to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey. And so if you're listening, we just want to say thank you so much for taking the time, for being part of the community. If you're finding value, please, we would love it if you would leave a review, give us a star rating, whatever you're able to do on the platform that you listen to. And speaking of, we just got a new review. And so we love to read these if we see them. And this comes from Georgia On My Mind is the name. And it says, these guys bring ultra running to my front door and make it possible for me to keep getting out there and pushing harder. Always an encouragement. And they got some of the best guests, and you're going to see that tonight. I love hearing tips from the guys that know what we need to hear and want to hear because they are out there doing it now. Keep it up. So Georgia On My Mind, thank you so much. It absolutely means the world to us. And with that, let's talk about our guests tonight. I am incredibly excited, as always. But our guest tonight really is unlike anyone that we've had previously on the show. So while some of us, well, unnamed, have used our midlife crisis as our reason for jumping into the ultra running game, this guy began taking on ultra distances at the age of 16. And not only has he been successful enough to find himself on multiple podiums, he was the outright winner of the Unico 100 last December, which we've talked about a lot and we'll talk about tonight. With a time, get this, of 18 hours and 45 minutes at the age of 17.
He's a child. An absolute child.
He is not a child. But yes, you heard that right. So 17 years old, let it sink in. He's also a sub-3-hour marathoner, by the way, which is freaking impressive. So we're so excited to pick his brain about what makes him tick, as well as how he's preparing to tackle the Javelina 100 this October, which will be really fun to talk about. And with that, Owen Thornton, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks.
We typically start out by kind of having our guests take us back to when they started running, and no joke, right? So, and you probably hear this kind of stuff a lot, and we won't make age jokes the whole night, I promise.
Promise.
But a lot of times those stories, we're going back a couple of decades, right? Hey, when I got started running, or let's go back to high school. If we did that with you, you literally wouldn't exist, right? So, but with that said, we definitely still want to know kind of where it started. So you've been running for about 4 years. We talked about ultra running 2 years ago. Tell us about how you first got involved in running in the first place.
So let's take this back to high school. Like, I guess I've never been the most social person. So I always was pretty introverted. And my mom really wanted me to like join a little group or something going to high school. And she always really liked the cross country sort of people. And they were always pretty close. And honestly, I didn't know cross country was running when I was going into it. So someone from the team asked me that lived down the street, was like, oh, hey, want to come join a cross country? And I said, sure. And I ended up going to one of the practices. I go there and they come up to me and like, oh, can you run 5 miles? I'm like, I can walk 5 miles. I ended up doing 5 miles that day in 35 minutes. Well, that's what I thought, but now knowing it, that was more like 3 miles. I was already thinking like, oh, I can do like a 7 minute mile for 5 miles. I didn't have a watch or anything. I had no idea what I was doing. But for the next week, I had Icy Hot on my legs every day. My lungs hurt. The entire month was awful. And I took my first nap of my life. And when people say, like, you know, running's not that fun, I mean, truthfully, it's not fun until you get fit enough to enjoy the actual running.
I completely agree.
It hurts to get into anything. That's any activity. You know, you really have to just put in the work to get there. But I joined cross country. The next year goes by, and I'm sort of introduced to the long run, you know. And we did like 9 miles, 10 miles, maybe 11 miles max. But that was one of my favorite runs of the week. And I would just run with my friend Dylan, and he would just play music on his phone, and we would just sort of run slow and just keep going along. And I was like, if I can slow down the pace and just go a little farther, I could probably go any distance. So later on that year, I'm like, oh, I'm going to try to do 15 miles. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And I did it. And I'm like, maybe 20 miles. Then the next week, there's a Charlotte Marathon. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll do that. I hurt myself. No training and really quick volume increases, but it got me hooked from there. That was when I was 15. After that, I guess that's when I just started getting into ultras.
So press pause for a minute. So yeah. You were 15, you did the Charlotte Marathon, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that the year you finished it in a 2:52 or not?
No. That was last year. I did that like 2 weeks before Unico.
Okay.
I did that as like a workout. It was a really cool run. I was really amazed with how it came out, but it was like the first half I did at 7 minute pace and the second half was at 6 minute pace. And it was just like, I surprised myself with the speed there, but no, that it was at 3:40 that first time.
Which is a fantastic first outing.
It's faster than my best marathon pace. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, you're 15 years old.
So one of the things I'm curious about, because like, I mean, my daughter did cross country for a year, right? And I've seen cross country and people enjoy running to some extent or competing.
Yeah.
But obviously I think there was something that struck a chord different with you. And you kind of said, hey, I liked if I could just slow it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think I could go forever. Was there something specific about it that stood out to you? What was the benefit you got from it? Like, what is it that made you go, wow, this is something I'm actually interested in compared to what I would consider the average cross country, right? That does their workouts, races their races, but then they're kind of ready to do something different.
One, just to draw me to long distances, is I really like to travel and I really like to watch things go by. I guess like this past summer, I drove out to like California for Western States. And I really enjoy to drive. I think it's basically running without the effort. It just the scenery keeps me entertained. And when you go a really long way, you really just get to watch everything go by and you get to just enjoy it. I think in 5Ks and such, I get really anxious about it. And I always, like 2 miles in of like a 5K, I always like start needing to go to the bathroom or like I just get like cramps and all these things. But in an ultra, you know, you could be, you know, so many miles. And if you have to go to the bathroom, you just go to the bathroom. So it just takes the fear away. You just watch things go by and you just enjoy yourself. And what's amazed me was, as I've gotten to know some of the more, I guess, like elite runners, whether you're really fast or just going at a moderate pace, like they're just sort of taking it at an effort that's sustainable for them and just trotting along and enjoying their time out there. And that's what I think so unique about ultras.
There's a lot of different areas I could go, but it's interesting because with being, you know, 18 years as well right now, you're looking at your race experiences as an experience versus simply just a competition. Now, I'm not saying you're not trying to compete, you're not pushing yourself to compete, but you also embrace the overall experience, which is like, that's wisdom.
So to say, we've had, you know, some of the guests that I admire the most talk very similar to what you're saying in terms of taking it in, see, having the joy in the running, being able to feel the experience and not just be out there and zeroed in on time and pace and everything, which of course still comes with running. Mm-hmm. Dude, the fact that you can just enjoy that, I think says a lot. And some of the conversations we're going to go into, I'm already starting to go, oh, that makes so much sense to me.
So coming off the marathons, how did you end up in an ultra?
Well, after that, I was really wanting to start taking running a little more seriously. It became something that was more like an activity for our school to something that I actually cared quite a bit about and wanted to actually get better at. And I sort of felt like I had some potential with distance. So I worked with a guy, Kyle Masterson, and he was someone that ran in the 50K. And he was the one that said, well, you know, if you're really passionate about doing this ultra stuff, I guess we could try to figure it out. Because all the marathons were being canceled, and honestly, my long-term goal was to do an ultra. And there was a 50-mile on the Natchez Trace Trail in Franklin, Tennessee. And I was really worried about getting injured and such, but I guess what we ended up doing was putting together a lot of weeks of volume and just slowly building it up. For that first training block, I don't think we averaged anything more than like 65 miles a week, which was really topped out. Long runs didn't really get longer than 22 miles. And mostly it was just putting things back to back and just being able to run on sore legs. And then I went into that first 50 miler and it had about 10,000 feet of gain. And training in Charlotte, where it's pretty flat, to train for that, I was just running up and down hills and running in the hilliest place because I can't drive either, so I couldn't go to like Crowder's Mountain nearby, which was like where I could go up and down. Honestly, I didn't even start training on Crowder's Mountain until like a couple years later because I didn't get my license till I was nearly 18. So yeah, I did the first 50, and well, first I went to the packet pickup. And they're like, oh, are you doing the marathon? I'm like, no, I'm doing the 50. And I'm, you know, I was 16. I was maybe like 5'4", 5'5". So, you know, I was just a little guy there. And it was like, oh, I'm doing the 50. And they're like, oh, good luck, you know. And then, you know, as I'm walking by, a bunch of these people are like, he's doing the 50. And yeah, so we come out the next day and I'm all anxious. At first I thought I would do a warm-up, like a 5-minute warm-up, and then I realized you don't do a warm-up in ultras. So I didn't warm up. I started in the very back because I was like, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. And I was used to 5Ks where everyone just sprinted off the line. Everyone just started like walking off the side and started doing a little jog. So I started making my way up and we hit a little hill in the first, within the first third of a mile. And everyone starts walking up the hill. I'm like, we got to run up this thing. Honestly, now I probably would have power hiked it really quick. I wouldn't have ran up it, but I ran up it. And every single person I passed was like, don't go out too fast or it gets a lot harder. And kept saying like, you better slow it down. And then I got to like fourth place or so. And then I look across from me and I see on the other side of a river a bunch of people passing me. Someone yells over at me and they're like, oh hey, I made that mistake last year.
You're off course?
Yeah, I went way off course.
Bummer.
Yeah, it was probably like a half mile extra and went back around. And eventually I made my way back up to third and then to second around a half marathon and then held it for the rest of the race. But that was my first ultra, and honestly, by 20 miles in, I was pretty dead. I didn't feel that good. I was dehydrated, and I was craving ice cream. So, and on top of that, I only ate gels, goo gels, just maltodextrin for 9 hours straight with Gatorade. My teeth were burning. My stomach was, by the end, I was doing 14-minute miles and spitting up like water and puke. It was just, it wasn't very pretty, but it was really rewarding despite that.
There's a lot I want to talk about,
man. We're going to come back to that, right? Because we're going to talk about what he learned.
Yeah.
Because your way you're referring back to it demonstrates you have actually learned some things that you've now changed about how you run. I don't want to get into that yet because I want to talk about some of your other experiences first.
Okay.
There are two questions that I have, though, because, again, a lot of the people that are listening are new to ultras, looking at their first ultra kind of thing. And so obviously having a coach in the training, I'm interested in what do you think that you either learned with the coach or going into that first one that you think really helped, that if you had kind of that bit of advice to give somebody who's going into their first one. And then I'll ask the second question in just a second.
To just focus at the task at hand and really to be relaxed and not to really worry about all the other things. Like, and if you're feeling bad, focus on what's going wrong here. It's like, if you feel bad, it's probably because there's some imbalance, and it's probably something like nutrition or hydration, or probably both. And you just need to make sure that you focus on one thing at a time and not get all worried about all the things. Because I tend to really want to plan every little segment on ultra. And I used to plan like all the miles, all the splits and stuff. But now I just sort of go into it knowing that whatever you plan is not going to go to plan. And you just have to take things on as they come and just deal with them as they come at you. So just focusing on the task at hand, I think that's probably the most important thing.
It's a very common theme in terms of simple problem solving. Yeah. We heard the very similar thing from Hillary Allen, right? And that's what you're saying is, hey, try not to get overwhelmed, but solve my problems. What are the few things that I can focus on? And that actually answers a little bit maybe of the second part, but this was your first. So, I mean, obviously you did a marathon, so I'm like, it was hard, but this is the first time you've been up to, I assume, a race where you're in the hurt, right?
Yeah.
At 16, what kept you going during that race? And we're going to talk about, we know you've had some experiences since, but at that point, I don't think anybody would have been surprised or held it against you if you just would have said, hey man, good try.
Well, there's a few things. One is, I'm someone that, like, when I get into something, I go really extreme with it. Like, I started playing cello in sixth grade, and I've been playing for 7 years now, and I've played in like a bunch of these symphonies and stuff. I just get really into it. I started running, you know, 4 years ago, and now I'm pretty deep into it. So the thing that really kept me going, honestly, was one is I was thinking, I really want to be able to run 50 miles. And two was the fact that so many people kept saying, like, well, a lot of people I could just tell were really doubtful if I could even run 50. And on top of that, even more people were really doubtful that would even hold the place I got. Because I was second place by 13 miles in. And, like, I didn't want to be that guy that blew up. So, like, no matter what, I just kept going on and on and on. And when things hurt really bad, I just kept pushing on. There were points where it's just like, why am I out here? And why am I doing this? And now I've gotten a lot better with being able to deal with those. But for the first time, it's really, really hard to deal with those emotions because
It's incredible. I know if I was listening to this podcast right now, I'd have to ask you, did you have any crew, any family members, anybody there with you?
Yeah, my mom and dad were there. And they sort of drove along the parkway and took pictures and stuff. But I just had a drop bag and my pack.
Right.
And I carried a lot. I was taking 3 goos an hour. So I would have 15 to 20 goo in my backpack plus 3 liters of water. Mm. And I use like flasks, soft flasks. But then I also had like a Camelback sort of thing, like
the bladder, yeah.
The bladder, and so it's heavy, it holds a lot, and it's hard to take on and off, and it takes a long time to fill up. So yeah, it was a process, but it was one of my most inefficient races, that is for sure.
Second place overall at 16, it was slightly inefficient.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do kind of a quick rundown of your ultra sign up, right? So that was, were just talking about that was 2020, the Natchez Trace 50 miler up in Tennessee. So 50 miler, second overall. Then you're in 2021, Beast of the East 50 miler. And there may be a couple, this is ultra sign up. So if there's anything missing, I apologize. Beast of the East 50 miler, third overall at 17. And then we're gonna talk about this one in a minute. So then you took a shot at your first 100 miler, the 2021 Burning River. And we're going to circle back to that. But then we already talked about, so then 2021, I think just prior, you ran your 253 marathon, which I'm sure there's a ton of people listening to this that would just love that to be, you know, that would be the crowning moment, right? And you use it as a workout, right? Before running an 1845 Unico 100. You've since this year now run the Endurance Hunter 100, second overall at 18. And then you just completed the Burning River 50, second overall. So when we talked about at the beginning, man, and it's part of the conversation I want to get into later, but even from the time when you first struggled, you've kind of made a habit of coming out on top. Let's circle back. Burning River 100. Tell us about what happened. That was the first DNF, correct?
Yeah, that's the only DNF I've had. And it was, when you run an ultra, you really cannot go into it thinking that there is a guaranteed finish. Because no matter what level you're running at, like even if you're of like the most elite runners, like just because you're fast and fit doesn't really mean that you're going to finish it. Because a lot of things happen. And what happened in Burning River was, now looking back on it, honestly, it was a pretty bad race. The first 50, again, I was fueling on just gels. So this is the race where I started to learn gels might not be like the only way to fuel, especially gels that are based on maltodextrin and just pure sugar. That's where I sort of made the switch after that. So the first 50 miles I ran, and it was a hot day. It was like 92 degrees. It was humid. It was a pretty normal conditions for Burning River. And it's a course with 8,000 feet of gain over 100 miles. And I came in around just under 9 hours, I think, for the 50. But I was not feeling good. And I was like run walking by that point. I was like getting sick to the stomach from the heat and from eating gels. I was dehydrated. My electrolytes were not balanced. I came into that 50 a complete wreck. My pacers picked me up and they lightened me up, but then we just kept like run walking and trying to just make it on, which is a good strategy. If you're really in a bad place, honestly, the biggest thing I've learned in these ultras is if you feel awful, you could actually be feeling the best in your life just a few miles later. And it's just the matter of continuing to run or even just move and being able to get the right nutrition and hydration in. So a few miles later, we're feeling better. We get into the trails. I'm running, feel good. But then at 70 miles, something weird happens in my hip, where in my hip abductor, and I can't walk anymore. And it just is extremely painful. So we end up picking up some sticks, these giant sticks. I actually brought them home with me. I shipped them back from Ohio, and they're these giant logs, and they're heavy and just massive, but I basically leaned on them and kept hiking on. I walked 4 miles to the next aid station with them, and eventually the person that is actually my coach now is, he actually ended up being one of the people to make the call to like just have me drop out. He was one of the friends with some of my pacers and crew, and they decided to say, like, you know, it's better off, we're better off dropping out of this, because I could finish it. I could walk the rest of it. If I walked the rest of it, I could finish still in like, you know, 26, 28 hours, but it would hurt, and it would, I wouldn't be running for a month or so. So we ended up dropping out, and I beat myself up for it for a long time after, because like in my head, I was like, you know, in ultras, a lot of people here are pretty extreme. It's like, we sort of take it to like the limits. And I felt like I really could have kept going, but I just ended up dropping because I just wanted to have more longevity in running. But it really let me down to not finish it. So I had a goal then. It was that exact same night on the 24th of July. I looked up the next race that I could do a 100-miler that would fit into my schedule before I turned 18. and I found Unico.
The whole Unico 100.
Yes. So then Unico 100 was the next thing you found on your calendar because you wanted to run it another 100 while you were 17 and wanted to finish 100 while you were 17. And I'll just go ahead and say it. I said it before the show. I kind of told you. I'll tell everybody that's listening now. That was the first time I ever encountered Owen. And Owen runs by me multiple times because I've lapped so many times by him. And I remember thinking that this kid is so freaking fast and light on his feet, and he's going to blow up. Like, there's just no way. Like, I've just, you know, the Unico is a smaller race. There's, you know, it's a variety of people that are there. It's not a full elite field and stuff. And so, but when somebody's out there running that as fast as you were, it was quite impressive to see. And then I also knew the guy who ended up finishing second. I've known Bill Shires for a while. He's an older gentleman, and he's been running for a long time and is very successful. To a person out there that's watching this entire race unfold, we're all like, Bill's going to run him down because, you know, this is a young guy. He's a young man. There's no way he's going to actually be able to kind of maintain that. But you were so impressive and, you know, just have just built so much respect from so many people watching you just continue to push through. Super impressed by you. And everything you did and have done is incredible to me just to have watched it. So very, very much respect what I saw that day.
I'm curious because you got to watch him. Did he smile a lot?
Yes. He was very happy.
That's one of the things that comes across for me, man. And some of our favorite people, and like I said, some people I admire the most, you kind of have that just joy in you. And I really hope it's something that you never lose because it's, like I said, it's admirable.
Well, thanks. Yeah, that's actually what I brought into Unico, honestly. Like the best day I ever had running, just enjoyment and having fun, was the Charlotte Marathon just like 2-3 weeks before. And that day I was just thinking, you know, I'm just going to run, have fun, and be happy and wave and stuff. And that entire day, that entire run, every single person, like through all those, you run through all these neighborhoods and stuff and all the people cheering on, I was just talking to all the people and thanking everyone and just trying to have conversations with whoever I could. And that honestly made the day so much fun. I think when you're able to have fun with it and just able to smile, even if you have to fake a smile at some points, I think it does go a long way with how you feel. But yeah, so I guess Unico, that was probably the first race I've done that sort of laid the foundation of how the next few races were going to go, because that's where I started to eat real food, and I ended up finding spring gels. Mm-hmm. And spring gels, I love spring gels now. I actually ate, and Cliff Blocks, and those were like the two things I ate in this last 50 I did. So for the Unico, I ended up going with spring gels, Cliff Blocks, and then some solid foods throughout to hold the water together.
So I'm interested because, and I was going to try to hold off till later, but you made some comments and I'm sure there's people listening that are like, just ask him the question, right? Because you've talked about maltodextrin, switching from the gels, obviously the way you talk about using some of the whole foods to keep the water. And so it's clear that you have a very good understanding, or you developed a good understanding, right, of what your body's doing, what you're using, how you're using nutrition strategically. So I'm very interested. Talk us through that for anybody listening. Why the switch from some of the maltodextrin? What are you thinking about as you put your nutrition kind of plan together? What's important and what are your considerations? Does that make sense?
Yeah. My knowledge comes from reading, sometimes reading just random websites. But I feel like ultras and just running in general, there's a lot of components to it. And what's really fun about racing in ultras is that not only is it the fitness, but you also have to dial in nutrition, your pre-race nutrition, like such as like your just diet in general, your sleep schedule, your recovery. I mean, there's a lot of factors that come down to like how you perform and how you feel when you're running. So I guess the first thing to start, which finally worked for me in this last race, is before a race, I ended up taking out vegetables for my diet like the 3 days before, so I didn't have any fiber in my system, or very little fiber. which really helped with needing to go to the bathroom. So then I didn't actually need to go to the bathroom during a race, and it didn't mess anything up. So there's something like to think about like that. Then when you come into like a race for fueling strategies, when it like something like maltodextrin, it's a sugar, and the thing is it's pretty hard on your stomach. And also anything that's sugar based, it's also really hard on your teeth. It makes a sugar coating over your teeth over like after you've had it for several hours, and it can make your teeth really sensitive and they'll end up hurting. But a way to solve that, if you ever have to, is if you just brush your teeth, it actually will take the sugar coating off, but your teeth will still hurt. just less. Anyways, things like gels, anything that's like really sugary, it's hard in the stomach, and it ends up making me sort of sick. For some people, it might work better than others, but my stomach is really sensitive, and that's where I sometimes need to have things that are based off like organics, like spring gels, which is like basically really condensed applesauce with a lot of carbs. Or I've been using Cliff Blocks, which is sugary, but it is more solid and it sits well for me. So I use the Cliff Blocks for the beginning of a race with caffeine later in a race. Later in a race, it's hard to chew. Your mouth gets tired and it just starts to hurt, especially if it's cold outside or if you've been out for a really long time. It gets really hard to chew. So I try to avoid chewing things late race. And I usually have like 90, I have 90 carbs an hour, and it does taper off towards the end. And especially in the last 5 to 10 miles, I might not even have any nutrition if I'm going fast enough. It really depends on how slow I'm going. And usually the worse I feel, the more I want to put in me. And usually that fixes it pretty well. And then if it's really hot and I'm sweating a lot, I try to take in enough water to, if it's like a 100-mile race, you really want your urine to be like pretty clear or like yellow, like a little yellowish. You don't want to be dehydrated. Like
not Coke color.
If it's Coke, it's bad. Very bad.
Coke is bad.
Yeah. And if it's blood, you want to drop out.
that's a given.
You need to go get some dialysis,
something of the effect. I want to switch gears just for a second, if that's okay. Yeah. Because there's another race I want to talk about, and then we have some other questions also and some other things we want to look at. Hopefully if we can get to them. But the Endurance Hunter 100 that you did as well, what we understand from that race, you set out in a blaze of glory as well in that one.
Yeah.
At a Owen Thornton suicide pace, and you were leading the course record by 3 hours when the wheels came off the bus. I don't know what mile that was, but pick us up at that point where you are that far ahead and you have decided to take a little break.
That was a really great race till it wasn't. Honestly, I was going really fast in the mountains and I was feeling really great. Honestly, I nearly set a 50-mile PR over 220 feet a mile, and it felt good too. It was another one of those races where I was like smiling and having fun, taking all those things from Unico, but it's like Unico but good nutrition. So my nutrition was on point, my hydration was on point. It was like 30 degrees, and it was snowing and stuff. I was singing Christmas carols, and I even made some videos on my phone, which I mean, I just was having fun. And I basically was averaging like maybe 11 minute mile through 80 something miles, but then 87 miles in, it gets down to 17 degrees. My coach said I should wear some pants, and I said I don't like wearing pants while I run. Well, I didn't even bring pants, honestly, but I was out there. I was running short shorts, long sleeve Salomon t-shirt, just super thin, and we're starting to do a long climb. It's a several thousand feet of climbing over a few miles, and we get to a point of 1,000 foot incline in a mile, and this is like 87 miles in, so you're moving slower. But I've been complaining to my pacer, thankfully, which this helps a lot. He's a nurse and he's really great in the mountains, he's a really good runner, but he was
running with me, and I kept complaining to him over the last few miles. I'm like, did I not train enough? Did I not do enough hills? And I just thought my fitness wasn't there, and I was just tired, and it was late race. And we got to this point where I just wasn't really walking. I couldn't really walk that well. I was starting to just inch my legs forward, like, one at a time. And eventually, you know, we're on this 1,000-foot incline. And through this, and even getting to, like, after this, just on flat surface, I literally was putting my poles in front of me, leaning into the pole, putting the pole in front of me again, lean into the pole, put it in front, because I just could not move my legs. And what happened was, the blood flow, it was sort of diverted from my legs more to the most important points of my body, because I got hyperthermia. Miller was contacting the crew and be like, hey guys, you might not like what you see here when we get around. Like, you should pull up the car and get some heaters on. So Miller and I, they actually made you carry emergency blankets on this thing, on this course. And I was like, why would you ever need an emergency blanket? Of course, and I actually used it. I ended up using the emergency blanket and wrapping up in a bunch of stuff. And I eventually got to this car, and honestly, that was the most painful experience ever. And after that, like, any low in an ultra does not compare to that. I, like, every time I feel low now, I just say, like, I've been so much worse, because that was painful. I was thinking of every possible way when I was getting there of how I could convince my crew to get me to drop out. Because I wanted to drop out badly. And because honestly, I didn't even think I would be able to walk anymore for a few days. And given that the only issue was the fact I was, you know, shaking like crazy and really cold, technically my body was still okay. So my crew wanted to see what they could do, because at the end of the day, if we had to, I could have just waited 10 hours and just try to finish the race, because in the end goal really is to finish. And even though it would sort of hurt to lose that place, you know, the end goal would just be to get to that finish line. And honestly, to this day, I don't know if I would have regret dropping out, because honestly, that was pretty bad. But the second place passed me 30 minutes ahead, and I ended up getting out of the car, limping out with layers and layers of clothing on. And I'm like, okay, we got to keep going. So I just start walking. I start walking out, and the race director starts telling me about all his FKTs and stuff, about how he's also had a hypothermia and kept going on, about how he's, like, you know, has to wake up after, like, 20 days straight of, like, you know, doing 50 miles a day and just having to keep going on. And like, you eventually get used to it, and eventually in your mind you just tell yourself, if you just keep moving, you're going to feel better. And this is something that has really stuck with me, is the thing that if you just start walking, it's going to hurt bad. But the thing that the race director taught me, he was only like, he's only 21, 22 years old, he was a really young guy, does all these adventure races, and what he taught me was, if you're walking or if you're running, it's going to hurt both ways. It's going to hurt really bad either way. The only difference is that when you're running, it's going to go by faster and you're going to feel better about yourself. So somehow, I don't know why or how, he inspired me, and we ended up starting to go 840 pace just on single track trails out in the middle of nowhere, out in these mountains. And I don't know how I started doing that, because originally I couldn't walk, but then I'm starting to run 840, 10-minute miles uphill, and I'm able to run up the side of, you know, 200-foot inclines over like a half mile or something, and I was just amazed with what the body could overcome. I think the course ended up being like 105 miles or something. Towards the end, I was starting to get really motivated, and I was like, man, I might actually catch first place. So we started going, and then eventually I see him up there. I see him, like, you know, a quarter mile ahead, and I start going fast, and I finished at a 6:50 pace for the last mile. Gosh. And I finished 10 seconds behind him. And so it ends up being 25 hours and 10 seconds. And I might've lost
you know, $1,000 in prize money, and I might have gone through a lot of pain. And it also, honestly, at this point, it doesn't even feel like I finished that race because of how wrong it went. But in the end of the day, I came out with a lot of learning experiences, and it probably has been the most chaotic race I've had.
10 seconds. Oh, no. 10 seconds of too much crying in the car.
That's what I kept thinking. I was like, I literally could have done anything. Mm-hmm. I could have just, honestly, I stopped trying to go to the bathroom in the last 2 miles. And guess what? I didn't even go to the bathroom. If I just wouldn't have done that, I would have won. Like, that's what I was thinking. It's insane.
That's impressive. Yeah. It's impressive. Like, that's impressive to get back out the car and to continue to push yourself like that. It's a good lesson learned for us all to hear, though.
Yeah, I couldn't have done it without my crew, though. Like, that's another thing I've learned in the last few times. Like, a good crew really means a lot in ultras, in friends, and even just volunteers and like people on the course, like just people that you can talk with and people just to, you know, hold your sanity together. I mean, that's it's really important in these sort of races.
100% agree. 100%.
Well, one of the things that I'm really interested in, because you've had success and because you're young and you've obviously got a lot, there's a lot out in front of you. I'm interested to pick your brain a little bit. What do you believe about your potential in ultra running?
Well, I think it all boils down to like one thing, and like just running in general. So I think it's more important in ultras than marathoning or track, is that ultra running is all about putting in a lot of hours and a lot of work and just being able to run for a long time. I know aerobically you really develop to like around like 27 or so, and then you usually reach your peak of like ultra running around 15 years into like seriously running, around like most people are around like 33 or so. And for me, that sort of lines up pretty well. I started ultra running 16, give that like 15 years of healthy running, then peaking around early 30s. I think that generally would add up pretty well for me. I don't know where I want to go, because there's a lot of things in ultras. Honestly, things like UTMB I find really exciting, because it's a really big event and it's a really exciting one that brings together a lot of nationalities from a lot of places. And I don't know, something about that and something about the uncertainty of the mountains I really enjoy. This year I've enjoyed just running fast and running on flat terrain. And it's fun to just get that basic fitness in. But I think trying to throw that into trying to run fast in the mountains is pretty fun. So I think given I'm young and given I can stay healthy, which I don't think will be too difficult, because I think it's a lot about keeping up and understanding your body. If you can balance it with enough strength, and if you take recovery seriously, take sleep seriously. You know, I like to sleep 10, 12 hours a day. I do 1 to 2 hours of strength and, you know, stretching a day. I've had some good training weeks in the last few weeks, but I mean, sadly, I have COVID now, so I have those amazing weeks have slowly fallen apart. But I have to put in a lot of recovery with it, and I think that will help me in the long run. But I think it's pretty limitless at this age, especially at the fitness level I'm at right now aerobically. I think I'm at a place that a lot of people don't get to till later on, or especially given that I've only been doing ultras now for not even 2 years. It'll be 2 years in November. So I feel like I've made a lot of growth in a short period of time. I don't know if there's any type of plateau to the growth, but I think the most important thing is to be able to keep enjoying it. And I think things like the mountains really light a spark in me. Like, I spent a lot of time out west over the summer because I was
living in my car for a month, just sort of running around the mountains in Colorado. And when I got out there, I wasn't listening to anything, no podcast or audiobooks or music. I was just running on the trails, and you have to really be in sync on the trails in the mountains and be aware of your surroundings. And it's honestly really fun just going through the mountains, and it becomes a lot more of an exploration sort of thing. And I think just doing a lot of volume out in the mountains might be a lot of fun. So that's something I'm thinking about doing. The only thing I worry about for myself is school. Don't think it will be too much of a problem because I'm not too sociable a person. So I don't really have too many things to keep up with besides school and running. But it is something to think about, especially with, like, if I have a job in the future, having to balance that. But definitely running professionally is something I would like to do, even if it's not like main source of income sort of thing. I do. That's my long-term goal, to get a...
Let me interrupt you for a second. Are you afraid to say that you may want to be an elite runner?
No, I want to be an elite runner.
I didn't say it.
I want to, honestly, no, I like over Western States, like UTMB to me is like sort of like the pinnacle of like all things. I don't know. It's such a race of variability. Like that's something like one of my biggest goals. And honestly, I feel like, Jim Walmsley sort of stole my idea. He didn't know about it, but I was thinking about moving to Chaminade and training, training there. But, you know, I guess he got to it first.
I was going to ask you, do you think he's got a shot?
I think he has a shot, honestly. But it also is, it's a stacked field.
No, yeah. Always, always, it's going to be always.
So that's why UTMB is so much fun. And that's what I'm really excited about for like my generation. Like, the only people I know right now that are running at my level, for my level at my age, there's a guy, Sebastian Salisbury, I know, who he's sponsored by Salomon. He's 16, but he doesn't really do, he did ultras when he was like 13 or so, but now he does more like short trail racing. And he's still into ultras, I know, but he hasn't really actively been doing too many, and he doesn't really do long distance, but he's really fit and he's fast. But he's the only other person I know that's like my age, but I'm just interested in seeing like who comes out in the next 10 years.
I love that your goal is to win UTMB.
Yeah,
that's...
I love that you say it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
You know what else I love though, is the fact that you're looking at a 15-year timeline.
Oh yeah.
For peaking. Like I'm just blown away by your perspective, by your thought process, by looking at joy, by figuring out what brings you that spark, whether it's mountains, your ability to just be independent and go out on your own and find those things. Also, the 12 hours a night caught my attention because I'd love to sleep like that as well.
I'm just excited he was on our podcast first.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we're going to point back and be like, so you remember
Owen?
When they start bringing you on, be like, that's cool, but the ultra running guys
had him first.
Had me first. Because like I said earlier, that was one of the reasons, and we've talked about it and say, okay, I think the trap could be you're young, you've had success, you tie your identity to winning or whatever it is, and then you have hard times. The thing is, you've already had some hard times, and your perspective is so far ahead of most people your age that everything you said, I'm like, oh, he's looking 15 years.
It's why everybody who's old says you're going out too fast, and he's like, this is me though. This is how I run. This is what brings me joy. And I think it's great. Yeah, man.
I used to slow down. I tried to slow down originally. Like that's what I did in Unico the first mile. Like I was thinking everyone's going to go out, and then I went out and I ended up being ahead of everyone. I started to slow down. And then we all ran together the first lap. So I was like, you know, I was trying to not go out too fast because, you know, I didn't finish my last 100. So I was like, man, I don't want to push it.
Yeah, you can't limit yourself because of everybody else's limited beliefs about themselves.
The thing that makes me happy is if you have already with what you said, if you have a rough patch, if you have things that don't go your way, mentally you're already prepared for it. And you know that it's part of the journey on the way to where you're going. And that to me is like, again, I mean, I struggle with those things.
It's right? Wisdom.
Right. It's very, very wise.
I don't know. That's, I've always, people always call me was an old soul. That's
old soul.
The student has become the master.
And I see it
Yeah, that could be why I like ultras at this age. That could be a trait, but
Fight for that. Fight to hold on to that,
man.
Because I mean, no joke, right? I think you are going to be at a level where you're going to get the attention, and people are going to start saying great things about you. Fight for that joy and for the same perspective that got you here, because dude, it's impressive.
Yeah.
I do have a question. Have you ever heard of Ben Tilwell? Benjamin Tilwell?
No, I haven't.
So he's not running at your level in terms of speed or anything like that. But I did Backyard Ultra the last 2 years, Capital Backyard Ultra, and he was 14 and then 15.
Oh,
and so
really?
He did 104 miles the first year, and then he just did 116 miles. So might be a guy to look up and connect with, because I know it's probably hard to find. And he's not your age. Obviously, he's a couple years younger.
Yeah.
But like you said, I would imagine it's hard to find the younger crowd that you can really connect with. But I don't think you're going to have a problem connecting with. Everybody's going to be wanting to hang out with Owen.
Yeah. I mean,
all my brother friends are twice, three times my age.
Yeah.
So one last question for me. I know you're about to wrap. Your friend who invited you to the cross country team back in August of that year, right? What does he think about you now?
Well, guess what? So I just started college. I was there last week. I haven't seen this guy in years. He's a junior in college at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. And I go to this, it's like an orientation thing for like first year and transfer students. And I walk down like through this thing, and this guy looks behind me and he was like, Owen. I'm like, oh, Gabe. And it's this guy that lived that down the street. So he transferred from Arizona to UNC, and I ran into him and he was like, are you still running? And I'm like, yeah, I'm still running. You know, I've been doing a lot of running. And I was like, man, you know, I just like, you're the one that got me into running. But it was really cool. Honestly, that was just like a couple days ago. And that was pretty full circle right there.
That is super neat.
Really cool.
Well, and again, I know we'll probably have to, especially as you continue to progress, have you back on the show, talk about what you're up to. We already said Javelina, that's going to be a big one. We've got several of our past guests that are going to be out there. Obviously, there'll be a lot of elites and just names that a lot of people know. But I'll be watching, or we will be watching, keeping up. Super excited to see how you do with that.
Is that a golden ticket race?
Yeah, it is.
Are we going for a golden ticket by any chance?
Honestly, like you said about trying not to be caught up with always being podium, because this is one of those races where I'm going in not expecting a podium because it's competitive. But the thing is, again, it's 100 miles. A lot of things happen. If I get a podium, I will be very proud.
Yeah.
I don't even need a golden ticket. I am honestly, my goal is just to be able to run a couple miles with Annie Hughes and or Dakota Jones and be like, hi. I'm probably not Dakota. She's going to be so far ahead. They're going to be going 7:30 pace. But, you know, Annie Hughes is more of a mountain runner, so maybe she'll be going slower.
That is awesome. I think you're going to do well, and I hope you're a top two, top one, top two. Get that ticket.
Yeah.
Something right.
Top two is still
right.
A ticket.
All right.
Dude, yeah, we'll be following along. And for everybody listening, it's Instagram. I know you're a couple different places, but Instagram at Owen R. Thornton, and we will post that. How active are you on Instagram? Is that something you keep up with much?
TikTok.
What's the best way?
Yeah, major things I put up. I try not to be annoying. Strava is where I put like my annoying stuff. Because Instagram, like, there's a lot of people on it, and it's like if I put something up every day, I think people would start getting mad. Because that's like a lot of school people and stuff as well. But Strava, I put a lot of silly things on Strava. Like,
and that's in your Instagram profile. So if people want to check you out on Strava, go look at his profile.
Oh, yeah.
And connect there.
And he's very active on TikTok.
Very active on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Just been TikTok creeping.
Yeah, because I'm 50 years old and that's what else I have to do in my life, right?
Well, dude, and if everybody was listening, they caught the fact that you did. You just came down with COVID yesterday. So thank you for taking the time and for the energy and still, you know, maintaining this. We did give him the option to opt out, but he wanted to press. And, dude, I'm so glad that you did.
That's because we're famous.
That's right. That's right. So all I'll say, I know we didn't even get to it, man, but I mean, you mentioned UTMB. We know Hard Rock is out there on your sensors for things to be looking at.
Georgia Jewel,
we've got that lined up for 2023. And dude, I think there's just so much exciting about you.
He'll be on our show again at some point.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not, we're friends. So we're just going to treat you that way.
Right.
We're going to hit you up. Us. When we see the pictures of you and all the elites, and we're like, hey, Owen.
Hey, Owen. Don't forget us.
I'll say hi.
Yeah. Introduce us to your friends, Owen.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think they're volunteers.
Yeah. I was introducing volunteers to people at Western States.
Sure. Awesome, man.
Sure. Yeah. We had fun.
But it's very cool. And so we're real excited to be able to talk to you today. And just thank you for the time. It has been fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
And we're going to have you stick around because we're going to be doing our game that we do for our patrons for Patreon. If you want to check that out, you can go to patreon.com/theultrarunningguys. But either way, thank you for sticking with us. Our motto, as you know, is just show up. Owen is showing up day after day. And dude, we just thank you again for being on the show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
All right. We'll talk soon and cut. Do you have a time that you need to be wrapped up by?
No.
College student. This is
like, are you kidding me? He's like, I just woke up.
Right. This is a college student. They're all often curious, like, what it's like to be on a podcast if you've never been on one before.
Real quick, you have not been on one before? Are you?
No.
Okay.
Sweet. How are we first?
We're
going
to be able to point back to
how
this.
Are we first with this kid? Like, you're just incredible.
Whenever it comes to running stuff, I enjoy to talk. After my last race, I sat around for 6 hours after and just walked and just talked to random people.
Don't cough.
All right. You got to cough, man. Just cough.
All right. We can clean it.
If you'd reach out or if you come out this way, I'm going to grab some miles, whatever.
I'm not running with him.
I'll run with him.
What are you going to follow him? Yeah. No, you don't run slow.
If you'll remember the little people, I'm sure that...
Okay, so I have already started ruining our show, I know. Because everything I'm saying and you're saying, he's going to be like, we need to talk about that in the show.
I played cello in the Kennedy Center in D.C., the National. Dang. So, yeah.
Impressive.
You want to start a band? And on a separate note, stop eating the mushrooms on your trail.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
No, seriously, and you're going to hear me compliment you way too much, I can tell.
Now that the show's over.
All right, see you tonight. Good night. 100%. So have you removed processed sugars from most of your foods?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, the thing is, if someone offers it, I mean, I'm going to eat it. But
so he's like, yes, unless it's available.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
But if it's